on before I preach. Might get more on off before I preach than do after I preach. Amen. Now, off the west side, it's never closed. And I've had folk to come right in the middle of the preaching, get on the altar, right in the middle of the singing. It's open all the time. Amen. It's a joy to be here. I guess you can tell I'm just a little bit on the hoarse side. And I've had a little sinus drainage. I haven't had a sore throat at all. It's been scratchy a little bit, but I haven't had a sore throat at all. But I have had a sinus infection. Not a, the doctor said it wasn't the infection. I said, I don't know what it could be. I said, I can't hardly breathe. He said, well, he didn't even give me an antibiotic for it. But anyway, I taught Sunday school yesterday morning, about 45 minutes, and preached a solid hour yesterday morning on suicide. So don't get excited now, because I don't usually preach over about 40 minutes. And but that was a message that was burning on my heart, and it needed to be preached. And several wanted a copy of the CD. I'm going to tell you, you know, the devil tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to commit suicide in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter number 4. But there's a lot of reasons why, and I gave several Bible reasons why that people commit suicide. But I didn't stop there. I should have made two messages out of it, Brother Donald. But I wanted to make sure that when I gave them Bible reasons why people commit suicide, I gave them a whole lot of reasons why they didn't have to. Praise God. Why they don't have to. Now, suicide is not the way out of your problems, young folk. Old folk, middle-aged folk, no folk. I'm getting to be old folks. I can say that verse of scripture that David quoted in Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Amen. Ain't God good? All right, it's good. Thank you for the invitation to come preach and this week, and I want you to pray for me. I'll be preaching this week, I'll be off next week, and then I think it's the next 3 weeks in a row I'll be in revival meeting, so you need to pray that God will help me with my voice. Amen. I'll be in back in, let's see, where am I going to be? South Carolina week after next, and then I'm going to be in Patrick Springs, Virginia the week after that, and Murfreesboro, Tennessee the week after that. So I need you to pray that God will give me traveling mercy. But you know, I'm praying for this meeting. We've been praying for this meeting. Is it Don or Donald? Okay. All right. They call me Donald Duck once in a while, but so I'll just call you Brother Donald. Amen. Boy, God's good, isn't he? And I'm glad, brother, that you still got the house of God, the doors open. Keep them open. The devil would like to close the door right here, but I'm so glad it's open. And I'm so glad you got a good crowd tonight. And I'm so glad you got a preacher's got some excitement about him. Praise God. Say amen. Yeah. Amen. If we're not excited, there's something wrong with us. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming, all the men of God. How many have got your Bibles? Would you wave your Bibles just a little bit? Amen. But if you're not saved tonight, this would be the best time in the world for you to get saved. And I tell you what, if you're physically able, you don't have to, but if you're physically able, I'd love for you to stand and turn to the book of Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Now, if you're not able to stand, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to. But just in the reverence of the Lord's word, and let's read let's start off in verse number 31. Verse number 31. And I read all of Acts chapter number 9 last night. At the church before I preached on the blind man that was healed, and two or three people told me after service, Brother Paul, you sure you're in the King James Bible? I said, well, that's all I got's the King James. I wouldn't have nothing else. Said, my wife said, man, you missed some words and you left some out. And I said, they said, we thought you was in another version of the Bible. Said, you know what that tells me? Praise God, I'm going to give me some glasses this week, next week, and what? I don't need another Bible. I'm a King James man all the way. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm about to get excited before I read the scriptures. We'll get Revelation right now if you want to, preacher. I don't care. Luke chapter 24, verse number 31. And the eyes were opened. Isn't that a blessing from God? Amen. And they knew him, Now that's in Luke 24, 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. But they're going to see him again, so are we. I got that part right, didn't I?
Amen.
Correctly. Amen. Verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? And anytime you got a burning, you got a shining. Anytime there's a fire, praise God, there's a shining. Say amen. I'm about to have a spell already. And you'll understand everything I say to. Amen. And the Bible said, and did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, they asked that question. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, when you see Jesus, you got something to say. Okay, all of y'all, praise God, you got something to say. Amen. Amen. Now look at what the Bible says in verse number 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed. It hath appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, Father, I thank you for loving me and saving me from a devil's hell. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord and bless this church, the man of God, and every individual here. And God, stir our hearts tonight. Revive us. Save that sinner that's nearest hell. Lost, undone without God. And help me as I preach now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The story here you find in Luke chapter number 24, verse number 13, down through the remainder of this chapter, has to do with the revival of the Emmaus disciples. The revival of the Emmaus disciples. Now, they needed old-time Holy Ghost revival. You'll find in verse number 17, the Bible says, and he said, "Of what manner of communication are these that you have one to another, and you walk and are sad?" Jesus was walking with them, and they did not even recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They were so sad, and they were so down and so out. They had a sad heart. I know a lot of people tonight, Brother James, that has a sad heart. There could be somebody in this building tonight, you have a sad heart. But then Jesus goes on down, still walking with them. Remember now, this time, they did not even recognize who Jesus was. And Jesus said in verse number 25, "Then he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures have spoken." So here we find that they had a slow heart. And now the word slow heart means a dull heart. Oh, my friend, you can't chop wood with a dull axe.
Amen.
You can't trim a pencil with a dull knife. And brother, we won't be of any effect at all to the things of the Lord and the church if we're slow and dull and dried up on the Lord Jesus Christ. But now they went from a sad heart, they went to a slow heart, and then we found they went to a shining heart. But there's a lot of things that happened from the sad heart to the shining heart. Now, if we have revival this week, there's some things that happen to us that we will go from a sad heart to a shining heart. A shining light. Now what did Jesus say in Matthew 5:16? He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now watch this in verse number 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Hey, I go back to my spiritual heart. They didn't need an ultrasound. They didn't need a tongue or a rhyme. But I mean, they had their heart burning because they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hey, there is some results to Old Time Revival. There are three results. I know three. I could give you five or six, but I'm going to give you three tonight. Three ways it shows the result that they had for revival. To show that these men, these immersed disciples, had revival and the result of that revival. Brother, when Old Time Revival comes, you see the results after the preacher is gone, after the evangelist is gone. You will find a difference in your individual lives when Old Time Revival comes. And all the preachers say, we need to pray for Old Time Revival, and God knows that we need Old Time Revival. The psalmist said, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, brother? And I tell you, God is still able to send the Old Time Revival. Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, in Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. And the Bible said, God said to Jeremiah, call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things of which thou knowest not. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in Luke 1:37, there is God nothing that shall be impossible. I'm serving a God that's able. I'm serving a God that has all power in heaven, all power in earth. Praise God. And I'm still have Old Time Holy Ghost revival. If you have revival, God will send revival, and God will have revival. And let us have revival in our heart. The first result that we find concerning the immersed disciples was a renewal of Jesus Christ being resurrected. I mean, brother, a renewal. Listen, the Bible said that Jesus was walking beside of them, and in verse number 18, the latter part, Jesus asked the question here in verse number 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now, wait a minute. Look in verse number 13, if you will, please. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 3 furlongs. And the Bible said, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. They were talking together of the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend. And look at verse number 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus drew near and went with them. But they did not even recognize that Jesus was walking with them. And the Bible says in verse number 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hath not known these things which are come to pass in these days? I mean, you're just a stranger. If you look up that word stranger, it means a foreigner. And Brother James, they said that they were so slow and so sad in their heart. They hadn't seen Jesus yet now after his burial, and they didn't recognize who Jesus was. They said, sir, you're nothing but a foreigner. You're just a stranger. And all the time, it was Jesus Christ that was walking right beside of them. Oh, I tell you, sometimes this world will throw things toward us that we think, when we think sometimes that we're walking right by ourselves, that Jesus has forsaken us, that Jesus doesn't love us anymore. But I'm here, he promised, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'll never leave thee, I'll never leave the world. I'm here, praise God, he will never forsake us, he will never leave us behind, he will never disappoint us. I'm here, praise God, we're on the winning side. I bet he's working with us in the daytime. I bet he's working with us in the nighttime. I bet he knows what to
I know about it. I got a right with the Word of God. I got a right with the Word of what we can understand. I got a right with what we can't understand. I got a right on. He's not with us, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to make a backslid back is get back to God and shout right out. Oh, God is with me, aren't you? Oh, yeah. Brother Linda said, you're a stranger. Boy, they were discouraged, weren't they? Do you see they needed a revival? And boy, we need a revival that will cause us to realize that Jesus is still alive. Oh, he's not dead. He died one time, that was sufficient. He didn't have to die anymore. They never made the need of the mother Calvary or the mother Jesus. Jesus alone today. Believe in him today. He shall be saved, shall be alive. And faith first in John 10 and verse 9. He said, the faith cometh not from Philistine and the king. I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. In John 10 and verse 10. I want that Savior, praise God, that's with us all the way. Amen, hallelujah. Recognize that Jesus is alive. You know, Jesus tells us over in Revelation chapter 1, in verse number 17. Let me read you something here. This is encouraging. This is strengthening you. Revelation 1, 17. And this is John telling the Isle of Patmos. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. That is a fear not for every fear that you have. Yeah. And did I tell Sunday school someone, when you fear God, that's a fear that causes you not to fear the things that's going on around you. Yeah. Hallelujah. But to fear God is the fear that overcomes and conquers all other fear. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I'm feeling better all over than what else. Fear not. We can shout right there that old time revival. Yeah. Give an invitation right now if everybody will give them themselves. Have an old time revival right now. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. That's present tense. Hey, I'm alive right now. I'm alive physically. You can tell, can't you? If you can, I better get on the altar myself. But I'm also alive spiritually. Because the Bible said in 1 John 5 and verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got the Son of God, so I'm alive. And the reason why I'm alive, I've been born twice. The Bible said in John 3, verse number 67, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, but I say to thee, you must be born again. Yeah, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I say, praise God, when I was born with the flesh, God give me my first breath. And as the inspiration sings that song, he gave me my first breath, I give him my last. Praise God. He gave us our first breath. And the breath we now breathe is in the hand of God. And we ought to give him our last breath. Amen. So you see, before I got saved, I just born one time. I was a dead man walking. Now the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And that word quickened means to make alive. When I was already alive, when you make alive, spiritually speaking. Before I got saved, before you got saved, you were dead spiritually. But aren't you glad God changed you? Aren't you glad you're over your shoulder? You're calling on God. Yes, God has life in you. Yes, God will save you. And God changed you. And God cleansed you. And God gave you spiritual life. And you will never have to die except one time. And that's the physical death. And
can you just grow up in life and be changed. That's good. Now, how is that? I think I saw in the book of Luke, chapter 23. How I'm going to run that rabbit, praise God. Hallelujah. Recognize. But when the Bible comes, we will recognize that Jesus is alive. He's alive, friend. Yeah, come out. They come out, had it in the newspaper and all over the billboards across the country. A movie. God is not dead. Was that the name of it? God is not dead. I said, you don't have to waste your money and go to a movie and look at a movie that they don't have to know what they're talking about and got the wrong kind of music, got the wrong kind of Bible. You don't have to go. All you got to do, man, is to get in your Bible and you find out that Jesus is alive. He died one time and he's not going to die no more. God's not dead. He's still alive. Now, praise God, he is. Hallelujah. But boy, they were down, weren't they? Brother, when Jesus is walking right by your side, and you think, you look at him and you say, he's a stranger. He's a foreigner. He don't understand what's going on. May I stop long enough to say, I'd love you, I don't know. Some of you I do know. I've been knowing you for a long time. But I'll tell you something, my friend. Jesus knows all about you. And Jesus cares about you. And Jesus loves you. And praise God, you can cast all of your care and your burdens upon him tonight. And he'll help you. He's my great helper. God gave me a good help meet. That's my mate, my wife right there. For we will soon be married a whole lot of years. We will soon be married 39 years. November the 25th, 39. I said, honey, what you want for you for our 50th wedding anniversary? She said, I want a brand new pickup truck. Well, we've got now, we've had it 12 years and held it over about 10,000 miles on it. And she'd rather drive a truck than drive that Buick we're driving. I said, man, that sounds like it'd be pretty good. A brand new truck, a brand new Chevrolet truck. Ford's a pretty too, fellas, don't get me wrong, but a brand new Silverado pickup truck. Who knows, praise God, that just might happen. So I've got a little over another year to pray about that. Pray about it, nothing. She said she wants it, go and get it for her. Okay, you want it. Now let's go with it. But I'm glad God's my helper. I'm glad God is my helper. And let me say, if we don't get a new truck, it won't bother her, will it? No, just kidding. It won't bother her. She's not one of them wives that wants things and things. And things is all right as long as things don't have you. Amen. I told her, I said, well, honey, I got a 55 Chevrolet. And it's restored like brand new. May drive it one night. I said, we'll sell that 55 Chevrolet. She said, no, we can't sell that 55 Chevrolet. I got two boys, and my youngest boy said, Daddy, I think you ought to keep that car in the family. Now, I didn't buy it new. Now, wait a minute, I wasn't old enough to buy no car new when I was in 55. When born was 46. And he said, Daddy, I think you ought to keep that car in the family. I said, yeah, and put it in your name. He said, yeah, that sounds better. What he said, God was walking right beside of them. You may be here tonight, but you may have some family problems. You may have some financial problems. You may have some fleshly problems or physical problems. And it seems like that you can't find God. There was a time in Job's life. There was a time in David's life where they seemed they could not find God. But they knew God was there. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not going to curse God and die. I know God. I know him. But it seemed like I can't find him. But somebody said, I looked on my life. He wasn't there. I looked on my life. He wasn't there. I looked behind, he wasn't there. Everywhere I looked, I couldn't find God. You might not find him, but he still is there. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Pick me up over and down, but I feel like running tonight. Hallelujah. Well, it's good. Recognize, and we need to realize that Jesus is still alive. And so, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have said. He said, don't you realize the Old Testament, and you know something about the Old Testament scriptures, he said to the amazed disciples. The Old Testament prophesies and tells us that Jesus is coming. Had a man, I had to call him on the carpet one time because he's teaching Sunday school. He told the Sunday school class, we don't need the Old Testament. It's not important. I just heard that one time, and I called him on the carpet, and I said, if that's what you believe, you're not going to teach another Sunday school class in this church, not one. We're not going to vote you out. We're just going to take you out. I said, I'm going to tell you, if you read the New Testament, you can hardly read anything in the New Testament that does not refer back to the Old Testament. Amen. I said, the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. And if it weren't for the Old Testament, we wouldn't have the New Testament. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And I said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us, the four gospels tells us that he's here. Boy, am I a blessing from God. Yeah. The book of Acts says that, brother Barry, he's gone back. Yeah. 30 days after his resurrection, he ascended back to heaven. And brother Barry, the epistle starting from Romans all the way over to the book of Jude, tells us how to live until he gets here. Yeah. And then the book of Revelation tells us, praise God, he's coming again. Hallelujah. He's been sure coming with Jesus. If Barry like me, I just want to go to heaven, praise God. Here in Danville, Virginia, or where I'm from, the United States of Virginia, I tell you, I just want to go to heaven from Virginia as North Carolina. Hallelujah, I'm coming like Bill Moses. I'm coming to Hallelujah. He's good. And so, he said in verse number 27. Well, I'm gonna leave 27 just a minute. I'm gonna go down here to verse number 30. And it came to pass as he sat and meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. Their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What about that? I believe they saw the wounds that was in his hands. I believe they realized that's the Savior. He was walking right beside of us. And we didn't even recognize who he was. We thought he was a stranger. But he recognized, and then we recognized that's who. He's not a stranger. He's the Savior. If you say he's not a stranger, he is your Savior. Brother Billy Kelly used to sing a song, I will not be a stranger when I get to heaven and acquainted with folks of your dead. 30 years from the time they've gone one by one, but they wait after wait until the race is won. I will not be a stranger when I get to that seat. I'm acquainted with folks scriptures. I was showing these scriptures and there were some more saints of God that didn't even recognize him because they were so sad. They didn't even recognize who he was.
Hallelujah.
Help yourself, brother. Amen. 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 He appears to Mary Magdalene. And the Bible says in verse number 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that he was Jesus. Well, won't you look at this? Look at chapter 21 of John and verse number 4. And we find after the resurrection, the risen Christ is the master of our souls. And then it says the service and self-will of the human leadership. But you find in verse number 4, well, I think we better read verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. I will go fishing. Well, they say, hey, we also go with thee. We're going with you. Amen. We're going with you. They said, they went forth and went into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Get out of here, God, we didn't catch nothing. Right. Stand on the ground, we catch a few things. Right. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Hey, that'd make a good title of a message or a song. Amen. Jesus stood on the shore to show his disciples much more about his love, about his goodness, about his resurrected life. Oh! Well, I hope my voice gets working. We're going to shout this week, praise God. The Bible said that the disciples knew not that it was him or that it was Jesus. Am I getting all the words right tonight? I tell you what I need, praise God. Not only do I need my glasses changed, I need a light bigger. I need a bigger light on my pulpit and closer to it. That's two things that I know what I need. Not no doubt by the grace of God. But wait a minute. Now I'll tell you something. You've already heard enough singing. You've heard enough preaching tonight. I don't care where you are. I'm going to tell you may be down in the valley. But I want you to know that the result of these disciples having revival was they recognized who Jesus was. Amen. And then number two, they recognize the scripture as being truthful and fulfilled. They recognized the scripture that was truthful and fulfilled. No wonder their heart was burning. We didn't have a dead book.
That's right.
We have a living book. I quoted it a while ago. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God bore conviction. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, or Romans 10:17. The Bible says, surely faith goes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore I say to you,
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Man told me one time I hadn't been saved too long. And I said, this book is alive and this book don't lie. He said, if that book is alive, let me see it get up and take off walking. Well, if I done what I should have done, I would have laid down in front of him and said, okay, I'm going to show the word that's walking. I would have laid down in front of him and then got up and started walking. Because the Bible said in Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then he said in Psalm 119, verse number 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And if you're saved, you're saved because that word of God, that King James Bible, that Holy Ghost conviction, you thank God, and you repent and call on the Lord, and he saved you, and he sealed you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, I feel like preaching that, Brother James. Yes, sir. The second thing, result of mass disciples having revival,
yeah,
is they recognized the scriptures were true and the prophecy was real. So they were down and they were slow of heart. And verse number 27 now. Look at verse number 26. Art not Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yeah. And he said, and beginning at Moses. Was it Moses that wrote the first five books in the Bible? Somebody say amen. Is that?
Yeah.
I thought, I just want to make sure you was right, and I was right. Well, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Praise God. This entire book concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the devil, Brother Don, that's why the devil don't want us to preach it. He don't want us to teach it. He don't want us to read it. He don't want us to sell it, because he knows there's power. And Paul said, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He knows there's power in that book. Hallelujah. Well, it started in Moses. You say, preacher, you're going to read all the five books in the Bible? No, not tonight. Not tonight. And so the Bible says, and they drew nigh unto the village. The Bible says, whether they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. So abide with us, for it is even toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Then it came to pass, as he said, at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You're not a blessing from God. But look what the rest of that scripture says. While he walked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, praise God. And then if you go on down in verse number 45, the Bible says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Boy, God wanted them to understand the word of God. Let me tell you something. You just keep reading this Bible. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And it said in verse number 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You could come, but you won't come. You've got so many things and so many people that's stopping you from coming and believing the word of God, receiving the word of God, and being saved with the grace of God. Well, I'm glad I heard the word. Aren't you? I'm glad you're in it tonight. The Bible. The scriptures is all about Jesus. What did Jesus say? Turn back, I want you to look at something. In Luke chapter number 16. The rich man died and went to hell. I mean, folk, he died lost, and that's why he went to hell. His faith was in his riches and not in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he died, and it was so terrible. He bled from one drop of water, just on the tip of his forehead, that it might cut his tongue because he was in the flames in torment. Just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And just as sure as people that die lost that know about Christ, they go to hell. Just as sure as people die with the Lord Jesus Christ and surely they go to heaven. I died June the 28th, 1970. As a young man, 23 years old, I saw myself lost. I was on the road to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted a new life. And I came to Jesus that morning, and God saved me 44 years plus ago. Still good, buddy. Still good. Still good. Still good. So he wanted to come and get out. He knew there was fixed and no one could ever get out. So here's what he said. But he said, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Why do you want me to send him to your father's house? He said, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is a place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, but have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Abraham said to that rich man, if they don't believe the word of God and won't believe the word of God, they would not believe it if Lazarus were resurrected and went back to the Father's house and witnessed to them. That's called sight. Jesus said, blessed Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Jesus said, blessed are they that believe but have not seen. Praise God. You see Jesus, you see God when you read that Bible. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1, verse number 14. Is that what the Bible says?
Amen.
Let's make sure. Excuse me. Now, you don't have to shake hands with if you don't do out service. If you're coughing like I was coughing, I won't shake yours either. I'm just kidding. I'll get my hands washed up real good before I shake your hand. Because I don't want to give you this cold. You probably send me the doctor's bill. No, you wouldn't. Now, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more thing. I've got seven more things, but I'm going to keep some of them until another time. This is the only three that God wanted me to give you tonight. Result of revival for the Emmaus disciples. Number one, they realized that Jesus was still alive. And if you will realize tonight that Jesus is still alive, I don't care what you're going through, I do care. But listen, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is alive and Jesus knows more about us than we even know about ourselves. Realize, number two, that the Scriptures are true. The prophecy of the Scriptures are true and being fulfilled. And number three, they realize a third thing. They realize, my friend, that they were alive and they were shining and they had the assurance that serving Jesus Christ really pays.
Amen.
Serving Jesus really pays. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse number 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon in Matthew 6:24. And that word mammon means silver or gold or the things of the world. Hey, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Hey, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it. I can't tell you how. But hey, what a difference since Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by, Jesus saved my soul. I started serving the Lord. And so did you. Isn't that something? Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. Look at it. Look at it, if you will. Their heart was burning. Their heart burned. Amen. And the Bible says, and they rose up and found the 11 together and them that were with them, saying. So we got something we want to tell you. It's good news from a far country. Praise God, we got some good. Every child of God has got something to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not telling the story, my, you sure do need revival. If I'm not telling the story, I sure do need revival, brother. I mean, we need to get up, we need to get out, we need to get busy, invite folk to come to the house of God. And I walked into church a while ago and I looked across and I said, praise God. Look at all them houses over yonder, man. The opportunity. Now look, and I said, wait a minute, ain't nobody living in them. That's trailer park, ain't it? I mean, where they sell new trailers. I mean, mobile homes, I mean. That's where they sell new homes. I said, do no good to go over there. Unless you go in that office, I think it might be somebody around there about 8 hours a day. 10 mothers out there, they're just waiting for somebody to buy them and move in. You still got an opportunity there, don't you? Yeah. Lost people everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. We got folk in our church that we knocked on their door. Some of the people we knocked on the door, I'm thinking now of one young man knocked on the door for 20 years before he ever got saved. Now he's been in church for 20 years. Amen. Serving God. Amen. We got a lady in our church, she's been saved for, how long has Brenda been saved? It's been several years. 30 some years. Yeah, over 30 years. She said, preacher, when you or anybody else from that church would come to knock on my door and I realized who you were, I went out the back door. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of her. Amen. One night, and we went by there, and she promised she'd come to church, and she did, and she got saved. For 28 years, she prayed for her husband. In revival meeting our church almost 10 years ago, Thomas, he might be with me one night this week. His wife got on the altar, and she was sitting up here. Oh, Lord, she said, out loud, everybody could, Lord, please don't let my husband die and go to hell. Lord, I couldn't stand it if I went to heaven and know that my husband went to hell. Oh, God, don't let him go to hell, Lord. And she was a boo-hooing and a crying from her heart. And boy, I tell you, about that time, her husband's hearing that, about that time, that great big old over 6 foot tall man came walking down that aisle, and I had the courage to lead him to Jesus. Praise God. He's been saved almost 10 years now, and he's read his Bible through his eye. Went to the tent meeting. He was with us at the tent meeting. You remember that white-haired guy? That man, hey, he was with, and he said, going up there, he said, preacher, he said, I love this book. He said, right here's the tithe I wrote down in the flyleaf of my Bible, in the front of my Bible. I've been saved almost 10 years, and I've read my Bible through going on 11 times. Praise God. And he goes on visitation. Knocks on doors, tells folk about God. Man, I love that song. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Amen. I might sing it one night this week. I done sung part of it. We all pray, God, let my voice be where I can preach. I mean, I want to preach. If I don't get to sing, that's all right, but it don't bother me. But I want to preach. Boy, I'm going to doctor my throat. You say, what are you going to do? I started saying not talk, but that's impossible. Say it. James, look at that, Brother James. Say it. God is risen indeed. Never have him. no more pouting. Because when you got bottles in your church, most of them you got pounders. You can doubt and do without, or you can believe and receive. So go ahead and doubt. They were doubting. But when they saw Jesus, there were no more doubting. Say amen. No more doubting, but they did a whole lot of shouting. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And then the Bible says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. I'm going to quit right there. I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop tonight. It's time to give an invitation. The altar is open. I like that. Open at all times, just like our altar is. We're old-fashioned, independent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take our orders from headquarters, which is in the third heaven. God's good. Do you need reviving? Would you say, Brother Donald, that that is three things that prove the result of revival for these Emmaus disciples? Brother, when you call me, it's been, what, 2 months ago? And I preached that message several times, but never had preached it just exactly like that. God told me when I hung that telephone up, I want you to preach that message right there. And you say what you want to. But when Brother Tony called me from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, about 3 or 4 months ago, and said, I want you to come preach for us in our meeting on Wednesday through Friday night, that's exactly, honey, that's exactly what God told me I want you to preach up there. Guess what? You get to hear it 5 more times. But you know, God can't change his mind about what he wants you to preach, can he? I'm glad he didn't deny it. Everybody stay right in the building. We're going to do something. Brother Donald, sir, would you hand me my little jacket right back there, please? If you need old time revival, would you just come to the altar tonight? Piano player, would you? Where's she at? Where's the pianist? Come on, play something, if you will, tonight. Just play. And the song leader's coming. May want to get it. You know something what I think would be good to get tonight, brother? It's probably already on your heart. I believe it's burning your heart, just as I am. Was that what you said? Well, you don't have to tell me.
I don't even know.
Okay. Okay. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Hey, I said, preacher, I know I'm saved. What about that? He said, that's what it was right there. Now, honestly, I did not see it, but it's written down here. How many tonight would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right now? All over the building, if you know it. Don't raise your hand if you don't know it. Nobody's looking on. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to come to you. You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Would you wave your hand just a little bit if you know it? Okay. You may take your hand down. Nobody's looking. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to send anybody to you. How many say, preacher, I don't know Christ tonight, and I'm lost, and I'm on the road to hell. I want God to save me. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me that I'll get saved before I die. Would you raise your hand right now? Would you do it? Sir, right now, God's dealing with your heart, isn't he? Right now, God is dealing with your heart. You know that you're lost, and you know you need God. How many say, preacher, I'm saved, and I need old-time revival. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me? Would you do it? God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come to this altar right now and pray, Lord, I need old-time revival. Lord, would you please revive me? Come on right now. I don't care who you are. Pastor don't care. He wants you to come, whether you're a member or whether you're a visitor. He wants you to come now. He wants you to come and pray for old-time revival. Visitors, please come pray. Pray for old-time revival. Pray for me. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the church. And let's pray for old-time revival. Would you do it? Sister, go ahead and start playing. Brother, sing that song, if you will, please. Page 81. Sing, help him, church, if you're not coming, help him.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb. I come.
Wait just a minute. While they're praying, would you look at me just for a moment?
I was 23 years old when I got saved. 23 years old when God saved me. A little bit after 12 o'clock, June 28, 1906, I read the Bible, I read God's Christ, God in the Holy Ghost conviction. A few hours lost, God was in hell. I went to church that Sunday morning. I had people that I went to school with. I had loved ones there. My family members, some of them went to that church. I didn't care what they thought. I didn't care what anybody, what my friends, my family thought. That Sunday morning, I was sitting right back on the pew, next to the very back pew. They started singing, "Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me." Brother, that preacher said of my brother, the pastor said tonight, with his arms stretched out. He said, "I believe somebody's in this spirit. You know you need to get saved today. You know today is the day that you need to repent. Call on God. Would you come? Would you come and let God save your soul?" Oh, I stepped out that pew that morning. I walked down that aisle. I took that preacher by the hand. I said, "Preacher, I'm lost and I'm on the road to hell. And I want to get saved." Brother, I tell you, I accepted Jesus Christ that morning as my personal Savior. Amen. Oh, what a difference that God. Over 44 years, and it's just as fresh as it has been this past Sunday. Sing another verse. You got somebody in your family lost without God? Why don't you come tonight? Say, "I'm going to pray that God save them." Come on.
Waiting up. My soul I wound up blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot or lamb of God. I come. One more verse. I'm going to turn it back to the preacher. Come on, young man. Come on, some Savior. This will be the last opportunity that you have to get saved. This will be. Come on, young man, if you're not saved, let him save you. Let him live. Adam feels nothing worth trying. Only love of God.
Come on, we're not asking to join the church or be baptized, be asked to come get saved. That follows afterward. One more verse.
Just as I
think that's a message not only that we need,
amen,
but I believe it's a message that could be preached in any church.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you, we need a revival. We don't need it just to start here, but we need to start it within the people.
Amen.
And if it gets started within the people, then we know they will not stay at one particular place.
Amen.
It will spread like wildfire.
Amen.
And praise God, I think we need some people that's on fire for God. But
yes, sir.
I want to thank Brother Paul for that message tonight.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all did, but how many of you knew that God was here?
Amen.
Amen. God was right here in the midst. He was alive and well.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost, my comforter, he was also here. God the Father was here. You can't have the Lord Jesus here without the Holy Ghost. And you can't have God the Father here without the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. I sure am glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to pray. One for another. This right here, I found this the other day. It was stuck away in Mother Bible at the house. And it's speaking about prayer, the means of prayer. We need to go to God, the Father, to pray too. We need to have God the Father. We need to know Him in a personal way to where we can pray to Him. But we also need Jesus Christ,
amen.
The Son, to pray through. We need the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, to pray in.
Amen.
We can't pray unless we have the Holy Spirit. And if you're here tonight, and if you lost, the Holy Ghost of God's going to get a hold of your heart.
Yes, sir.
He really will. That's when I become. That's when I got to know the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I was telling the people yesterday afternoon. I know they've heard it. It's worth repeating. I repeat it all the time. Second Monday night in August of 1980, there was three individuals that came my way. Three individuals. One of them was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It was three individuals. Neither one of them knew, none of them knew me, them three men. But it's strange that it won't fall. It could have been fall. It could have been just two. But no, God seemed fit to see the Lord. Thank glory to God, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart, convicted me of my sin. And praise God. I glory. Except the name of the Lord and Savior.
Thank God.
Would you tell you what? The war was like 5 or 6 months later. I was in a study there reading the Bible. And praise God, I asked Him to be the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
Yes, you know all about Jesus. And you can get saved. But I'll tell you one thing. Until you ask Him to be the Lord in your life, and then He becomes personal. He becomes personal.
Amen.
And it's personal. You'll be intimate with
Him.
Wait a minute, praise God. We need to go. We need to get out of here tonight. Hallelujah. But we are just going to, I'm not going to close the service tonight. We're going to just unhook tonight to tomorrow night.
Amen.
And then we'll come back tonight, tomorrow night. All we got to do is just hook up again.
That's right.
So I thank you for each and every one of you come. Y'all invite somebody. I believe God has something special this week for each and every one of us. Yesterday and today, He's done something to my heart and my soul.
Amen.
I felt Him. I felt Him just to tug up to me. Last night, laying in my bed, I usually take and wrap my arms around my wife and just hug her. But last night, the Lord Jesus Christ, He just nudged up against me.
Put His arms around me.
He says,
"Son, I love you."
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. As we dismiss in prayer, is our hearts clear? All right. Now, if you get up the road and you say you wish you to come to the altar and you need gum, you come on back. I'm going to be here probably about another hour. So you just come on back. I'll be here. God will be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Brother Buddy, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer? Yes, Lord. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Amen.